Okay, so I figured we'd do Mashiv HaRuach, and in case you complained to me about the Aruch HaShulchan, I gave you Shulchan Aruch, which
so
conveniently had a full translation of Shulchan Aruch.
The back of my Siddur says that if you are accustomed to saying Mariv HaKal, like if you're following either Nusach Sfarad or if
yes.
you're in Eretz Yisrael and you say Mariv HaKal and you do it by accident, you do not have to start over from the beginning.
Yes,
but
so
if you do not say Marie Dattal, you do have to start from the beginning.
You don't have a copy, so you can
no,
take
No, I don't.
Take,
but
take
that's
mine,
what the back
mine.
Of my CD says.
Okay. Here. Okay, wait. Oh, I do have two copies. Look at that. Here, I have two copies. Here you go. Okay, good. So let us, guys. So let's look at it inside the Aruch HaShulchan. To sort of get the grounding, the sugyan, we have Shulchan Aruch here. Hopefully, this won't take us more than 1 or 2 days. So, bracha shniyah. This I assume you know. Bracha shniyah ata gibor. The second bracha of Shemona Esrei is ata gibor. Good. We're all good. Good. Vechatimata mechaya meitim. Shetchiyah meitim heim mehagvurot hayoter gedolot shebaolam hazeh. Now, as the Gemara already says, why is it that mechaya meitim is joined with rain? Sorry, mechaya meitim is the topic discussed in a bracha which name is gvurot.
Because
Tchiyat HaMeitim is amongst the greatest things that God does. Now, I will point out, I don't want to get into this in depth, but if you actually read the second bracha, we did this when 2 years ago when we had Shir on Shemona Esrei. It seems to be much more metaphorical that if you want that there are two that the general name for the second bracha is the Berakat Gvurot, right, the bracha of God's strength. Now, while there is a lot about L'chaya Meitim, right, cause, and as the Chatimah of the bracha, that, right, that's how it ends, it seems to be that L'chaya Meitim in this context isn't just L'chaya Meitim literally. It's also things that are, I don't know if metaphor is the right word, but let's say metaphorical. So, for example, the fact that we say that God gives children to the barren, right? So in the Agadic thought, someone who doesn't have children is dead. Where did Chazal get that notion? From Rachel, who says, if she doesn't have kids, meita anochi, so I'm dead. Right? Chazal also say that if someone is poor, right, then they're like dead, right, in the sense that they lack all social capital and like. So when we talk about God lifting up those who are low in terms of political capital, economic power, and the like, right, again, these are things that are on the same continuum, let's say, as Tchiyat HaMeitim. Right? And therefore, it's not, this bracha is about God's gvura, but Mechaya HaMeitim is the proper conclusion to the bracha because these things are not qualitatively different, right? They're on a continuum. And some of them are even more obvious. Like, obviously, Rofei Chalim, I think we all understand that God making sick people healthy is on a continuum with Tchiyat HaMeitim, right? Especially if someone's on their deathbed and then they become healed, right? So they don't die, right? That is on a continuum with Tchiyat HaMeitim, right? A continuum. Obviously, Tchiyat HaMeitim is much more miraculous, but still, in terms of understanding God's strength, right, these are conceptually linked, okay? So why is it? So now the Gemara asks, and now the Aruch HaShulchan summarizes it, okay, so why of all brachot then, this bracha about Mechaya HaMeitim / God's strength, Gvura, why is that the bracha in which rain is going to be mentioned? V'samchu ba'as karak zvurak shamim. We put rain there. Why?
Because
right? And we say, you bring the dead back. You are great to save. Mashiv haruach umorid ha'geshem. Dik shamim yordim gamken b'gvura. So he says, well, the Gemara says, well, rain is also
mighty,
right? If you, I don't know how it sounded here, but that first thunderstorm just a few days ago, it's like the mountains, like, right? Like you forget when you don't live in the mountains, you forget what it's like. It reminded me, now that I live in the mountains, I got used to it. But I remember like in the summers when we used to go up to camp, like most of the year, you know, I'm in Staten Island, New York. It's like when it's a thunderstorm, it's like, okay. And then you're like in the Poconos and it's thunder and lightning is hitting the mountain. I remember once like running to the bunk, like literally lightning is hitting the mountain and things are exploding around you, like in one of these particularly dangerous things in the hills, right? It is Gvura, right? You see God's strength.
But we're not praying for that kind of rain.
Fine, but it's still, it's an expression of God's Gvura. Ushneihem lo nimtzeru l'shliach, and these two are not, I'll put, normally given to a messenger. No, we are, but first of all, we also want those reigns. We also want those reigns. What's wrong with that reign? You don't want to be there when it's happening, but like if that type of reign happens over the Kinneret, Matov. Right, Matov. I mean, even though Israel is not as dependent on the Kinneret as it once was, virtually not at this point. The Kinneret is overflowing.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, yeah. When I came back to Israel 4 years ago, it was like 18 centimeters from the black line.
Black line is if it gets below.
So that it will have ecological disaster on the Kinneret.
Oh God!
And that's like 6 meters lower than where it is now, like 20 feet lower than where it is now. Okay, and then we've had a few very blessed years of rain, so it is now berevah. Also, we don't really use that much water from the Kinneret anymore. Like our main source is desalination and things like that.
But ecosystem relies on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, that it would be really bad. So he says, "Shneim lo nimtzur l'shleach." So the Gemara at the beginning of Ta'anit tells us that God has three keys that He holds for Himself. Right.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about a question. Didn't we say?
Can I finish a sentence?
No.
What are the three keys? So the Gemara says, if you tell me three or four, you'll be good, right? Because the Gemara quotes a tradition from Eretz Yisrael, that there are four, which, in fact, if you open the Yerushalmi, you will discover four.
Isn't there someone in the
Gemara that
someone
in the Tanakh, like, really outward saying? Shlosha mafteichot b'yadosh al-Kadosh Baruch Hu shonel nimtzu b'yad shliach, ve'elohein, mafteich shel gshamim, mafteich shel chaya, mafteich shel tzkan ha-meitim, right? Childbirth is the third. And then, yes, the Gemara says, oh, and Eliyahu, right, was only given one at a time, right? Because he had taken the one for rain, because he'd stopped raining the time of Achav, and then he wanted to bring back the child to life of the woman who, right, had taken care of him, right? Her son died, right? So he had to, as it were, trade, right? God said, listen, you can't have two keys. I'll let you have one of my keys, but not two. But yes, rain is one of those. And now in the Yerushalmi adds parnasa, right? That sustenance, work, right? Is also one of the keys. And in the Bavli, it is, that's assimilated into rain. Right, because rain is so intrinsically in for 99% of human history, rain was synonymous with economic success until the last few years, like where it's not as much. It still is in like America, but not, let's say, in Israel, right? Because Israel has begun the shift away from rain, right? One of the most important Israeli inventions for the world has been the taftifan.
Not this
desalination. That's also important, but the taftifan is the discovery in Israel of the importance of drip irrigation.
What's drip irrigation? Like where you have?
No, it doesn't. Correct, but not. But use minimal. It uses like it's basically. It was discovered by accident where someone realized that they had a tree that was growing much better than anything else because of a leak in like a hose, and they realize like, oh, apparently it's better to not drown the roots, instead to let like a drop at a time, so that it goes just the roots and doesn't waste water around on the ground, and it also doesn't drown the roots, right? Because rain will drown the roots, right? So it actually is more effective. So it uses something like, it's something like half the amount of water or 30% less water, but the yield is like 70% more. It's like some crazy, right?
Still malfunction, and I was just like, the container would turn into a bottle.
Yeah, so actually in Israel, that's very little in the system. We have among the lowest levels of waste of water in the world because of the systems that we have to check where there are leaks, right? Like in my house, I got a text once, there's a leak in your house somewhere. And they know that because they compare, like they have just computer systems that check my normal water usage. And if they see a spike, they text you and say, there's probably a leak in your house unless you've been doing something special. Check, right? And like within 5 minutes of it happening, I realized that one of the toilets was like, not broken, but like, just like loose so that it had that tiny stream going in that it wouldn't fully stop flushing, right? And right, but that's how we save water. Right, is that Israel has tremendous amount of systems, right? As opposed to in most cities in most. Yep.
Welcome to Israel.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes. Wait a second. I was in the middle of this. You're distracting me. So let me just finish this sentence, right? So these are two of the keys that are not normally given to a messenger. Because both of these are above nature. And again, right, this is why they like the Aruch HaShulchan over the, right? If you don't know the Sugya, right, the Shulchan Aruch, just by contrast, I won't forget about you, Moshe. Right, if you turn for a second to Shulchan Aruch, right, on the second side, and you look at how Shulchan Aruch starts, right, he says, Matchilin Lomar Bebracha Shnia Mashiva Ruach Marei Degeshem Tefilat Musaf Shel Yom Tov Ha'acharon Shel Chag. Right, you start saying Mashiva Ruach on Musaf of Shmini Atzeret. Ve'ein Poskan Atzfilat Musaf Shel Yom Tov Arishon Shel Pesach. And you don't stop until you get to the first Musaf of Pesach. Right? But right, meaning, is that accurate? It is. But if you never learn the Sugya, you have no background in terms of where it comes from. You have no Hashkafic background. The Aruch HaShulchan just gives you a paragraph or two to ground you and say, right, this is why you're saying this bracha. This is theologically what it means. This is what the Gemara tells you. Again, nothing mechudash here, nothing novel. He's just giving you the key sources. So now you know, oh, if I look at the beginning of Ta'anit, it will tell me that rain is miraculous. Rain is on par with Tchiyat HaMetim. That's why I'm saying in the second bracha. That's why this is important. Right? You'll walk away with just enough to be like, oh, this is why this is important. Right? That's a big deal to me. Ruach l'geshem. And why do you put ruach next to geshem, wind next to rain? La mishum damirat mashiva ruach ma'akev. It's not because you have to say mashiva ruach. You don't. You just say mashiva geshem, you're yotze also. Ela mishum dal pi rov varuchot mevi'im ananim. But if anyone knows anything, wind brings clouds. Wow. You've all learned something now. Wind brings clouds. Umehem yorin geshem. And from clouds come rain. Wind bring clouds, clouds bring rain. What? To explain the phrase, Mashiva Ruach Morid Hageshem. He's saying we're praying for rain, about rain. Brings clouds, not breaks, brings. You know, clouds move, they don't move by themselves. Wind. Yes. It's not how does wind work? Because.
We've been with it before.
Are we not allowed to ask anything during the beginning?
So is it, guys, this is a very important question. So why do we say that? Aren't we not allowed to say bakashot in the first three brachot? What's the answer? Requests. Oh. It's not a request, as the Gemara points out. It's called haskara. This is a mention. Right here, we praise God. When do we start asking for rain? Next week. Right, we wait 14 days for all the people on foot from Bavel to get home. Right, so in America, when do you start saying the Tein Talamatel Rachel, which is a tefillah for rain? December 4th, 5th, right? Fourth or fifth, which is right 60 days based on the right because it's based on the equinox, right? Right, right. Yes, yeah, so it's which is solar, right? It's based on right, so. It's not on the equinox. It's after the equinox by a certain number of days, which comes out to November 5th, 6th. But in Israel, right, Mashiva Ruach is you're praising God for rain, and V'tein Talu Matar Levracha is you're requesting rain, but you're right, we don't ask in the second bracha. Because this is the rainy season, as you see, it started raining within 48 hours of saying Mashiva Ruach, but because people were on foot, yes, I saw that. It was funny that after I saw everyone, you know, people were like, "Hey, look, right, less than 2 days after Mashiva Ruach, it's starting to rain," and people were like, you know, very excited. And I saw an American rabbi, tongue in cheek, saying, "Hey, for all you Israelis celebrating the rain of, you know, the rain, where's your compassion for the people walking to Buffalo on foot who have another 2 weeks?" Right? I'm like, yes, okay, fine.
Of
course it rains. It just rains during the rainy season. Right. So no, that's how it works. It's the rainy season.
Don't bother packing a coat because it doesn't rain there and it doesn't get cold.
Yeah, okay, so no one should say it doesn't rain here. It doesn't get that cold in Modi'in. It gets cold where I live. It doesn't get that cold in Modi'in. Yeah.
No, but yeah. You can get decently wet. So you do need.
You can get very wet. You need a windbreaker. You need something. Yes, and you need good shoes.
Blundstones.
That's right. You need blundstones.
I,
I do.
This is wait. Why not?
So by me, everyone I think buys it by Sharif, who's like the Arab, the Arab guy, about 180 shekel. They're like a third the price of what they are anywhere else. Yeah. He sells them for really cheap. I don't what by the Arab guy right outside of Efrat in the hardware store. He has a whole section of buns, but he's got like 180 shekel or something, which is literally it's the same in shekel as it is in dollars. In most places, like.
So, are they? Is that required legally?
I don't know. I don't ask questions.
Is that enough, easy enough to get there? Like, on a Jacob on like a Friday?
No. If like you have to be by me for Shabbos, it's easy. At some point, I had a lot of people. My God, at my house for Shabbos, and they just walked to Sharif right before Shabbos because he's open, you know, up till Shabbos. He didn't care. He's not whatever, and they just bought buttons. What? At some point, I can't have all of you at the same time. I can have all of you eventually. But yeah, buzzers are really good. I'm thinking of getting myself a pair. Because the problem is I have very good boots, but they're Toronto boots. So like they're for snow. Like they're warm. They have like, they have, yeah, exactly. They have like wool in them. Yeah. Right? You know, like,
I want them, but they're not my size. They were too small.
Wait, what size are they?
7. They're like a 10. My feet are like a 10. But the ones those are a different size.
These are new ones?
I got them last year.
And they just don't fit?
Yeah.
What size are they?
Yeah, well, they're, now I'm super excited.
Like a 7.
We can't wait for that.
I mean, the price is going to have gone up, but yeah, he has very good prices for them. I know the knockoff one for kids were being sold in Efrat for like 140, which is also pretty good.
But that's knockoff.
It's knockoff.
These are real.
Yeah, I think. God knows where he got them, but fine. That's about what they are in America. The Yishmaze Sheila. Lama Baska. What?
Why are we saying that Shiva recommendation for only going to say by Dean Tolentar?
Because one is a mentioning of rain, praising God for rain, one is a request. Those are two different things. Moshe, is there a difference between if I say, wow, Moshe, you're good at learning Torah, or saying, Moshe, learn that entire Masechta new? Are those the same thing?
Yes. If you think he has
the ability, it doesn't seem like, I mean, by fine. In context, fine. They're different.
Yes, those are different things. Saying God has the strength, the power.
So why not the same time?
Because we begin mentioning rain as the rainy season comes in, but we hold off from actually asking God to rain because we don't. Because you poor people who don't live in Eretz Yisrael back in the day would have been walking back to your house in Bavel, and I would have said, Moshe, poor Moshe, I don't want him to be rained on as he's walking on foot, and he's, you know, passing Haifa.
Oh, because we're still coming back in the Sukkos.
Yes! That's right. Okay, good. Halchabet. V'yesh b'zeh she'ela. I got a question for you. Lama Bahaskara Omrim Geshem. So now he has a separate one. That's what the Gemara asks. And the Gemara says, "What?" And the answer is, because you still only mention it in the time when it's relevant. That's what the Gemara says.
Why don't we mention the Mashiach comes?
But you'll see. We'll read in a second. In Halacha Gimel, you'll see. Okay, Halacha Bet. V'ish B'zeh She'elah says, I got a more localized question, which is, Lama Bahaskara Omrim Geshem, uvish She'elah Omrim Matar. Why in Mashiv HaRuach, in the Haskara, in praising God, we call rain Geshem. And when in the request, we use the word Matar. They both mean rain, more or less. So why do we use different words? So he says, V'nira li di Geshem mikri kishayordim min hashomayim kishayim lim'ala. Dichtiv ti yimalu avim Geshem. Uvimabukti v'chalei Geshem min hashomayim. Good, you got some Parsha. Right, he says, Geshem, he thinks, is when rain comes. When we are talking about rain that comes from all the way up there in heaven. Like by the Mabul that God filled heavens with rain. Umatar tamid samuch laretz. And matar is the word we use when we're talking about rain as it comes close to the earth. Kidichtev mitar artzachem. That's why in the Pasuk we call it the rain of your land. Umatar lona tata artza. Uviov tiv anotain matar apne aretz. V'chem tiv geshem matar. The Geshem Matrot Uzo. And that's why we call, right, sometimes we'll have psukim that say Geshem Matar. Why Geshem Matar? To be kodemu Geshem, it starts as Geshem, which is rain in the clouds. V'achar gach Matar. And then it is Matar when it reaches Earth. Since there are exceptions. Now he says, so what? He said, when you're talking about God's strength and power, that is primarily seen up where, you know, precipitation starts, right?
Shemayim.
In the Shemayim. Uva she'ela, but when we're asking for rain, we don't care how powerful you are up there. I mean, that's very nice. But when we're asking, shemavakshim etein talu matar al panei ha'adama, and we say, tachles, give us rain. Here, kavulam lomar matar. We say matar. V'nirashim amar matar v'izkara v'geshem b'she'ela yatsa, but he thinks b'diavad. If you switched around the words, no big deal. You shouldn't do it because you're changing the language of the Chachamim, but he thinks that with the Avat, you're Yotze.
Wait, so when you're saying Geshem, you're saying Geshem first because
it starts as Geshem and becomes Matar. Geshem is the word up there, and Matar is down here.
But why are you...
Because when you're talking about God's Gvura, you're talking about God forming the clouds with rain clouds in the sky. And then when you're asking for God, you don't care how intense and cloudy.
When you're first talking about it, it's because you're talking about the...
You're praising God. It's praise for God's power.
Well, why don't you want to praise God for the matar?
Because his power is more evident.
I don't see that, though. I see the rain.
That's not true. What is more intense? When you look up and you see the lightning and thunder and the thick clouds.
You said precipitation. Wait, so matar is like the thunder and lightning?
No, matar is the water that hits the ground.
Wait, so then what's Geshem?
The water in the clouds. And he's saying that is more scary and intense and wowing.
I mean, lightning and thunder is not the rain.
It's all part of the process. I don't know. He didn't say lightning and thunder. I added lightning.
So is Geshem including lightning and thunder?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because that is more like impressive and evident of God's might than like actual rain.
I don't know.
But rain is more impressive than like a cloud. That has, like, water in it.
I don't know if that's true. But okay. Hazkara lo dami l'sheila. Now he says there's a difference between hazkara, I mean, mashav aruach, mentioning God's power, and v'tein talo matel avracha, the request. D'sheila kol medina medina sho'elet lefi eitak shamim shalah. So as the Gemara, as he'll explain later on, there's good reason to believe that requesting rain you do based on where you live. And if you want, we can get more into this. But just know, what was the first recorded halachic shaila? What is the first recorded halachic question to the New World? In the New World?
If you're in America, do you say Hashiburu?
No. Close.
Do you say...
If you're in South America, where the world is flipped, do you say... When do you say Mashav Aruach and V'tein Talo Matar, since your rainy season is the opposite of that which is reflected in the Eretz Yisrael-centric tefillot? Not North America. South America. Yes, it was a question from Brazil. That is the first recorded question that we have from the New World. So it's a machloket. There are three possibilities, right? One is, now, there is a difference between Israel and Chutz Laretz, but... Right now, what's the difference between Israel and Chutz Laretz? So Israel, as I said, we start saying it 14 days, right? We start saying V'tein Talo Matel Avracha 2 weeks after. Right? And in Bavel, you say it too, right? On December 4th, 5th, right? Right? Based on the equinox, right? 60 days after. However, right? The problem that everyone had is...
That's not
60
days after equinox.
Different equinox. The problem is, I can't get into it right now.
Please do.
Not right now. I have to finish my sentence. The problem was that when people moved outside of, you know, Israel, Bavel, so first there was the problem of what if you are in other lands where their rainy season is not identical to either country? Question one. And then the question was exacerbated when Brazil and Australia, right, where things got much more complicated because, you know, the world is flipped. It's not just that you're off by a few weeks, right? Or there is no rainy season.
6 months.
Yes, it's the opposite. It's right when you have your summer, you're saying, oh, I want a nice winter full of rain. And then when it's, you know, your winter, you start saying, oh, give me the beautiful towel, right? The beautiful summery dew. So you had these Shilohs in the early part. So you had the post-game in Australia, right, who asked this as well, right?
Rabbi, this is all irrelevant because the Earth is flat. There's no opposite.
That is
the
true.
The Earth is shaped like a velociraptor.
Australia is fiction. It is government propaganda, Rabbi. There's no such thing as Australia.
Thank you. That's very, a very interesting piece of stuff.
I've been reading the magazine that you see about Rabbi.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The magazine started, or anti-vax?
Like,
oh, wait, the magazine that someone dropped here. I did not read all of it, but it says the world is flat?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
The secret oath of the Illuminati, where they're poisoning us with all
the chemicals.
They're
the back of $1
bill. Yeah. They're saying, when you give birth, you have to leave the umbilical cord for 30 minutes. Do not let the nurse have your kid for even a second. Because they'll go behind your back and give them all these different medications that you'll regret for the rest of your life. There's a cure for vaccines. And that's
I'm so glad that someone dropped this off and that you were wasting your time reading it.
And they was only half of the first page.
Take thalidomide while you're pregnant to protect your children from vaccines.
Okay, so we're going to go on now. So, but as he says...
So please explain the equinox problem.
I can't in a second. So I need to get through Mashiva Ruach. If you want, when we finish this, to do the next question, which is how do we deal with both of these in the right? Because that's really the Tain Talmud Matzah question. I want to just get through Mashiva first because that's what we're saying now. Tain Talmud Matzah, we still have another week, right? Oh. So I want an order. I know it's terrible. Okay, but hold the thought. We said, at some level, we all know that Tain Talmud Matar is based on where you live, right? Meaning, the question of how you do it, right, Bavel, whatever, but we know that the Gemara already has two different times, right? Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, right? As opposed to Mashiv HaRuach, we say it at the same time. The Bishlam HaSheili says, the logic is very simple, the basic logic is very simple, and that is, a request you ask when you need it. Right? But mentioning it, it's just another praise we have of God. And he says, when is God's power evident? So this is where he adds a little twist, and he says, when it is the rainy season in Israel, right, which is where God's presence is most manifest. We start saying Shmini Atzeret, because that's rainy season in Israel. And even though we start saying V'tein Talmud Matar on the 3rd of Cheshvan, come on, that's so that all you poor souls who are walking from Israel back to Bavel, you have time to get home. And there are 51 words in the bracha.
That presupposes that we believe that our tefillah will actually cause Hashem to make the rain come.
Yes. Okay. That it presupposes the effectiveness of prayer, yes.
Yeah.
Shocking, really. That's not true. That is not true. That is just an untrue statement. If anyone who told you that does not know anything. Thank you. I'm going to move on. No, like period. The fact that the Rambam has a different understanding of how theologically it affects it, right, that it's more about affecting you, and that in turn makes you Zocha, but that doesn't, the fact that there is a causal relationship in some way through prayer, between prayer.
I don't think he would say that praying for rain will make rain come.
Yes, he will. course he would.
That you believe it, that you asking for rain.
Yes.
Even though God will not cause.
You know that the Ruchazek Kreska says that one of the Ikarei Emunah, he has different Ikarei Emunah of the Rambam, but one of them is that Tefillah is effective. That is one of the Ikarei Emunah. You cannot read Torah, and definitely not Halachic Judaism, without believing that prayer is effective. You can't. What effective means, obviously God doesn't always say yes, but the fact that prayer has some sort of effect that is literally baked into the fabric of Judaism, period. There's no two ways about it. How theologically you deal with that is an interesting question, right? The fact that that basic belief in some way is true. Yeah. Now, that's just a fake statement. That's like false. You can believe that, but the Rambam definitely did not, right? You're right that the Rambam doesn't think that it's magic that you ask God, right, and it comes, and he thinks it has to do more with how you change yourself and therefore how you tap into Hashgacha and things like that, and there's a more naturalistic system baked in for the Rambam. That's true, right? But the fact that there is some cause and effect between... Oh, do they have a share? Oh, right, it's getting earlier. I don't know if they have a share. Okay, we do as well. יש לך מתי יש לכם שיעור? עכשיו? לא, זה מוקדם.
Your foot.
Okay, fine. So let's continue here.
Well,
yeah. Fine. But Moshe, I'm not arguing. We can try. We still have a little time. So maybe after we do Mashavah Ruach, we'll do the Tein Talon Watel Bracha. The both in Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, and then in the northern hemispheres with different rainy seasons and the southern hemispheres. Okay, I'm happy to do this as soon as we finish this. Okay, so just hold on tight. Okay, he'll hold on tight. B'musa Shmon Esrei Matzchin Lasker. So we start Dalit. So B'musa Shmon Esrei.
You didn't answer my question, did it?
Yes.
What was the answer?
What do you mean? He just said, right, that we Hazgara, we stay only when God's strength is evident in Eretz Israel, right? So we don't say it whenever, but we say it at the time when it's relevant. But the tefillah is much more pointed, and that's why it changes, right, based on where you are. So we don't say it all year because it's not God's, because that manifestation of God's strength is not evident.
The Tein Talon Watel Bracha, that part. But why Mashiv Ruach Negeshen? That's just a praise. Why should that...
Correct, because I just said you're not listening to me. Because you say it when that manifestation of God's strength is evident. That's what he's saying. Remember, in Israel, it didn't rain for 6 months. Right?
I know,
so you didn't... It's not something you saw. You can say it, but it's...
to the asking doesn't...
Get Moshe. Let's say...
No, watch it.
Okay. Let me just give you an example, okay? Let's say that it is your... When's your birthday?
May 14th.
Okay. In May. I won't say into the recording when your birthday is. Right? It's May, whatever date, and your parents send you a cake, and Rosh Shmuel David comes in and says, that's all saying happy birthday. And then you're talking to your parents, and you say... Thank you for giving me a cake. Is that a proper thing to do?
Yeah.
Yes. If you called them right now and said, I just wanted to thank you for the cake that you gave me for my third birthday. It was yummy. Would that be weird?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's appreciative.
I mean, it is appreciative. So your parents would probably say, thank you, right? And then they might say either that's weird or... Do you want something? Did you want another cake? What exactly is going on? Right? Meaning, it's just a little bit weird. It's a shtickle weird.
But you couldn't say was like, it's not actually referring to the resurrection of the dead. It's referring to, like...
Yeah, that's not the Aruch HaShulchan, but yes, I'm saying that, yes. So again...
Maybe we could only say that if we witness someone...
So again, there's a difference between something that's like a fundamental of faith that's going to happen one day, but we've never witnessed, and therefore we have to drive home the possibility, as opposed to something which is natural, right? But it happens periodically.
Why don't we just praise God for the rain always
down? That's what he's asking, and the argument of the Gemara is that we say it when it's relevant, because, again, I'll put it differently. When is thanks or praise, and I know they're different, but still, right? They are different, but when are they? When is it more meaningful, right? If you, okay, fine. Let me put it slightly differently, right? Let's say, which shows more appreciation, acknowledgement, when you just sort of have a laundry list of things that you say about somebody and you just say it all the time, regardless of whether it's what they're doing now, right? Or when you tailor what you're saying about the person to what they're actually doing.
Fair enough.
Right?
But
those are requests.
And praises.
Yeah, but think about the praises. They're pretty generic in that sense, right? Meaning,
why don't we say, maybe...
Right, so it doesn't have meaning.
You know how when I say, maybe we should also be
specific.
Rabbi.
You should also be specific, for sure.
Rabbi, maybe
right?
we should...
But again, we talk about God's ability to forgive and the like more around the season of forgiveness, right? Meaning, there's a balance between certain things always being true, right? And certain things being manifest in certain times of the year, right? And there is an attempt to square, to do both, right? That's what you see in Tefillah, that part at some level there are certain things we say all the time, right? I mean, that's not crazy, right?
Yeah, okay.
It's not crazy. Again, you could argue here and there on the balance, but fundamentally that's not a crazy thing to do.
Yeah, it feels like rote, like saying the same thing over and over.
Yeah, this is a perpetual problem with tefillah, right?
Yeah.
Is that the problem of having a set text can lead to it becoming rote, which is a problem. Obviously, yes. Is that what it's supposed to do? No. But is it an inherent danger of a set text? Of course.
Shouldn't we? I don't think it'd be crazy, but shouldn't we like omit Hallelujah take us so far in like the third Hallelujah of davening? Because
why? First of all, it's a pasuk.
That's referencing the shofar. We can only say that during like Elul or Tishrei.
No.
Why?
Because shofar there has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah.
But we blow the.
It's about praising God with all the different instruments. One of which is a shofar. Like every other word there is an instrument, not the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. It's the shofar of the instrument in the Beit HaMikdash. The shofar, the chatzotro, the nevel, the chinor.
There's no way everything we're saying in davening is
that perek in Tehillim is about praising God in the Beit HaMikdash with the instruments in the Beit HaMikdash. Of one of which is a shofar. It has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. What?
Are you saying that every single praise we say to God is relevant to something that can happen?
I didn't say that. I said you just don't understand that perek in Tehillim because you thought it was about Rosh Hashanah, which it isn't. At all. Because in the Beit HaMikdash, they blew the shofar all the time. Just like they had a lot of other instruments. And that's what that parak is talking about.
Yes, fine. I understand, but I feel like there's so much other... There's so much do we do that's abstract.
You're right. Hodu Lashem Ki Tov. Right? God is good. It's just something we should only say when he's good. I agree.
Exactly. Are you
I agree.
Saying, like every single hodu we say during davening is like connected to something that's like relevant.
Well, things today that are about the past don't change, right?
Hyperpast, Rebbe.
What?
Hyperpast.
Hyperpast. But even in the hyperpast, God will have conquered Sicha. I don't know, right? Which you thank God for. I don't know. In every single hyperpast, that's right. In the entire multiverse.
But
I'm starting to get a headache. I'm just saying. Okay. Oh, but what about in a hyperpast? Ooh, Kasha. Okay. You can ask Sam. What?
Yeah.
And then, but there's going to be a few of you who in the end will believe in it.
In the end.
Or in the beginning. Or you do, or you did, or you will, or you did, or you will, or you hug. You hyper will. You hyper am.
I hyper am.
Hyper am. Okay, good. Fine. Now that I'm thoroughly confused. Bimusav, he's publishing in like a month the Balabatish version from Karen.
I'm mean, I didn't understand any of it. Okay. That's why I'm able to talk about it, because I didn't understand it, so it doesn't confuse me.
Oh, it was so much fun, yes. Anyways, I loved it. I don't know if I believe in any of it, but...
It was a fun-sounding theory.
Yes. B'musaf Shmonazre... Again, the fact that the multiverse and hypertime were invented by DC Comics and then adopted by philosophers is just... Yes. B'musaf Shmonazre Matril Lazger. So we start saying this in Musaf of Shminatzeret. Umaskir and Kol Yimei Achoref. And this is, right, we saw, this is where the Shulchan Aruch picked up. So if you just notice the difference between the Aruch HaShulchan and Shulchan Aruch, is this is where Shulchan Aruch picks up, which is, okay, bottom line, when do we start saying and when do we end? And the Aruch HaShulchan, by the time you get there, you have a little bit of theology, a little bit of, right, the broader picture of the halacha, the difference between Mashiva Ruach and Mashiva Ruach and Mordei Geshem and Vitenta Lavadar Racha. You're armed with all of that by the time you get to the halacha, as opposed to Shulchan Aruch, who, lo ma'anyen oto.
Doesn't Kreskis talk about multiverse?
Talking about aliens.
No, he talks about multiverse.
Why don't we have a special prayer for Tubishvat?
Didn't he talk about multiple worlds? Like, what if there are other...
I'm sorry, what?
Why don't we say a special prayer for Tubishvat?
I'm so confused. It is, actually.
Is it?
Yes.
The
yes.
It's not literally in the...
What? Mishnah. It's not a holiday. It is the Rosh Hashanah for certain laws about trees in terms of Trumot and Maestrot and Shviat and things like that. Meaning, and Arla and stuff like that. For different
people,
it's not like a holiday. It is a important demarcating date for certain halachot. Yeah, you know, it's not like this deep spiritual holiday that it's turned into. In like the Mishnah, Tu Bishvat is like April 15th. Before that is last year's taxes, or whatever, January 1st, I guess, not declaration, not...
April 15th is when taxes are due.
January 1st. It's the end of the tax year for certain Maestro. No, it just demarcates. No, it just demarcates the difference between what is part of last year's crop and next year's for that purpose.
Because it's when my father finally loves me again.
Your father's an accountant.
He's an accountant.
I'm sorry I brought up April 15th. I should have said trigger warning. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Fine. I know it's dramatic. I know it's dramatic to think about it.
Why don't we add something? It's when an essay for Tu Bishvat.
He was never there.
From March 15th, April 15th.
The end of August.
Why not through add the extra...
Of course.
Because of corporate taxes September and tax extensions in October.
It is literally the only holiday we don't say anything for.
Not a holiday, we just said.
We're demarcation.
What's that?
Moed.
It's not the only holiday.
You're right. Moed. The same way on December 31st, we should say, thank you, God, for ending the tax year. Right? Thank
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Why don't we?
And December 25th, we should say, because of his own.
Why would we? It's not the end of the crop year. It's trees. Only trees. Very good. So according to most Mepharshim, we don't. But there's one Mepharsh in the Yerushalmi, the Rosh Tzurillo, who actually suggests that. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. No, it's not a holiday. What?
It just demarcates what year, what tax year things are part of, and for the purpose of Arla and Shemitah and the age of trees. It's a birthday for trees, which has certain implications for Trumot and Maaser and for Arla and for Ruvai and all that stuff. It's not a holiday. Yes, it demarcates.
Why don't we add anything for the essay for Shemitah?
What?
Why isn't there? Why don't we add anything about Esrei for Shemitah?
For Shemitah's a whole year.
What should we add?
Thank you.
The rabbi said, I don't know. I'm not a rabbi.
Thank you for letting us not be able to get profit from our crops.
Amen.
Do we say a bracha on Shemitah?
Can you hear us on
Vinoy Mar? Yeah, it's like Shemitah's a mitzvah. How come we don't say a bracha on Shemitah?
On what?
Shemitah.
What about Shemitah? The prohibition to work the land during Shemitah? Do you say, thank you for not allowing me to commit murder?
I still think it's ridiculous.
Amen.
I feel like we've so much stuff in, I can't think of it at my end now, but there's so much stuff in Tequila that's like referencing so many different things.
But we're not, and we're saying, oh, well, then these praises, because they reference this and this thing, then we're not...
I don't understand what you're talking about anymore. There are a lot of pronouns going on, I'm sorry. You gotta be more specific. What, you're asking why do we not say praise for everything we said for Rain? Probably because Rain was a bigger deal. Why are other things not big deals? I don't know, but Rain was a big deal.
Include it in a turning point, and they don't include that praise in it.
Yes, because Rain was a big deal, and the rainy season was therefore a big deal.
Rabbi, I don't
like
so much
other
stuff in
Tefillah that also mentions
what?
Like objects.
I don't like getting wet. I don't like the rain. Why do I
pray? No, I feel like there's so much,
the world needs rain.
There's so much like other.
Okay. Apparently. Okay. So he says, let me just at least finish this halacha. He says, why don't you start at Maariv? Very simple. Mipnei, wait, I need you, Moshe. Why don't you start this at Maariv? Mipnei she'ein kulam beveda knesset. Because not everyone comes to shul at Maariv.
That's fair.
He's like, look, you want to... he says, this... Vizay Yaskim is a low Yaskim, so one will say one won't. Vi Agudar Agudar, and they'll be in different factions. Vachim Yerushalmi Sham, that's what Yerushalmi says. Vigam Vishachar Yevshal is last year. Mibnei Shein Matchilan Emkin Machrizen Kodim Matvila Kamashit Bayer. The reason for you need to do it at Mosaf is because by Shacharis, you need to, before you say it, you need to announce it. Right? That's what we call what? Tfilat Geshem. Right? Where we declare that we're going to say Mashar Ruach. We can't do it before Shmon Esrei and Shacharit because you can't split between Gula and Tefillah, between Gal Yisrael and Shmon Esrei. Umizah tam gam b'avsaka mavzik inen b'musaf kemo b'tchilah d'lavi shavot u'pirsim v'rabim. So instead we move to Musaf so that the whole world knows, yay! Dad Musaf kol olam b'veda k'neset. And he says, besides, by time, and he says, besides, people come to shul late, by Musaf, most people are there! You know, it's after the Kiddush Club, it's after the... And then he's like, and Shacharis, you can't do it then, and you know, people, by the time you get to... Look, he was a shul rabbi, he knew. You know, even if Shacharis is 9 o'clock, so 9 o'clock to some people, but then, you know, there's laning, and then there's the Kiddush Club at 10:30, by 10:45, 10:50, everybody's in shul.
Rabbi,
boom!
Always.
He did not say that. He did not say that. Okay. I thought we would get farther, but okay, we got with the good things. Let's stop here.